Before proceeding with tonight's special Columbia Workshop production, may we remind you that next Thursday, the Columbia Workshop presents My Client Curly, adapted by Norman Corwin from an original story by Lucille Fletcher Herman. And now, the Columbia Workshop presents the great microphone mystery, The Case of the Mysterious Leap Year. An extraordinary incident in the annals of detection involving some of the greatest names in broadcasting and taken from the files of Ellery Queen, Master Detective. It began on the night of Thursday, February 29th, 1940, and to follow its amazing pattern of humor and pathos, we take you to the comfortable apartment of Ellery Queen.
Hello? Yeah? Yeah? Well, it don't make no sense to me. Just a minute. I'll call Mr. Queen.
For me, Sergeant.
Hello.
What's that? Well, that sounds incredible.
The screwiest bunch of talk I ever listened to.
What's that again? Why, of course, we'll be right over. What a puzzling call.
Puzzling? It's nuts.
Don't be too sure, Sergeant Feely. That was Elmer Davis. He wants us to rush over to the Columbia Broadcasting Studios at once. He says weird things are happening. I thought he was joking. He talked of a radio studio with walls covered with red flannel.
Yeah.
He said the microphones were talking back, that his news ticker was issuing not tape, but a constant stream of anchovy paste.
Yeah, on little crackers.
Sergeant, get a taxi. We're leaving immediately for the Columbia Broadcasting Studios. You needn't wait, driver. Come along, Sergeant.
All right.
Girls, to your cars, don't primp and preen. It's Sergeant V and Mr. Queen. Elevator, Mr. Queen. Blondes Express, elevators, brunettes, local.
We'll take an express, miss.
21st floor studios going up. Mr. Queen, I can meet you at the City Hall at noon if you'd buy the ring.
What?
I say, wouldn't you like to get married?
Why, not just now.
Aren't you Ellery Queen, the gentleman detective?
Yes, but really, I don't want to get married.
Then you're no gentleman.
What the... Sergeant, what became of that girl?
Paging Ellery Queen. Paging Ellery Queen.
Oh, boy.
You're Mr. Queen, sir?
Yes, I received a call. Are you the lad Mr. Davis mentioned?
Yes, sir. He told me to show you around the studios. Right this way, sir.
Sure you won't change your mind, Mr. Queen? No? Then how about you, Lieutenant?
I ain't a lieutenant. And besides, I'm already married.
Now, Lieutenant, I'm merely proposing marriage. You needn't get so excited.
No, I tell you. No, no, no.
All right, Lieutenant. All right, Sergeant. Refuse my hand, miss the chance of your lifetime, but don't be redundant.
Well, I'll be a ring-tailed baboon.
Studio due to go on the air, Mr. Queen. Will you step through here?
Meredith.
Hello, Tommy. Hello, Tommy. How's the kid, boy?
This is Burgess Meredith, the actor, Mr. Queen.
Why, of course. Oh, yeah. I've enjoyed Mr. Meredith's dramatic portrayals in the film of Mice and Men and his stage roles. I've enjoyed your Pursuit of Happiness programs, too.
Thank you, Queenie, but the kid's wacky. I ain't an actor. Now, wait a minute. Excuse me. I got to go on the air.
Presenting Burgess Meredith in Songs and Patter. He's just returned from his triumphant vaudeville tour on the Arizona circuit. The Flatfoot Palooka from Tuscaloosa. Let her go, Professor!
Hi there, boys! Hello, Ma! Hello, Ma! Thank you, boys! Hey! Yes, sir, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's nice to be back singing for you tonight. For my opening number, I'm going to sing you the famous English cigarette song, Shoot the Gasper to me, Casper. Better known as Singing in the Rain. You got it? Take it away, boy. Hey! I'm singing in the rain. Just singing in the rain, what a glorious feeling. I'm happy, happy, happy again. I'm laughing at the clouds, so dark up above. The song is in my heart, and I'm ready, ready, ready for love. Let the stormy clouds chase everyone from the place. Come on with the rain. I have a smiley, eyely, eyely on my face. I walk down the lane with a happy refrain. I'm singing, just singing in the rain. Come on, I'll take it away, boy. I want this. Hey! Yes, boy. Little
Joe from Baltimore.
Yes, sir.
Gotta get the town getting hot, huh? Listen to that. Hear that?
Oh, God.
Those scat singers, tell me to one. No corn popping, a corn sign, really copacetic, woman. Yeah, got some up here. Everyone from the place, come on with the rain. I have a smile on my face. I walk down the lane with a happy refrain, singing in the rain.
Something screwy here, Mr. Queen.
Yes, Sergeant Ferry. Burgess Meredith, an otherwise sane and talented young actor, and I find him singing, tap dancing. Tommy, suppose you lead on. This is very interesting.
Okay, Mr. Queen. Right through here. See that fellow there? That's Bob Trout.
Bob Trout? Oh, yes, of course. He doesn't seem to be doing anything that's wrong. Nothing seems to be wrong with him. Take this down, Sergeant. 10:20 p.m. encountered Bob Trout, famous for reporting the important events of the nation.
We present Bob Trout.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Two brillig and slithy toves did gyre and gimble in the wave, all mimsy were the borer groves and the moam wrath outgrave.
Very profound indeed.
Thank you. Then, as if in uppish though it stood, the jabberwock with eyes of flame came whiffling through the telgy wood and burbled as it came.
Maybe it needed some bicarbonate of soda.
And hast thou slain the Jabberwock? Come to my arms, my beamish boy, O frabjous day, Calloo Calais, he chortled in his joy.
Excuse me, aren't you Bob Trout?
Quite correct. I believe you're Ellery Queen, aren't
you? I'm beginning to doubt it. You are Bob Trout.
Oh, yes, indeed.
The famous radio reporter, I mean.
Oh, no, I have the kiddies hour. It was very pleasant seeing you, Mr. Queen. One, two, buckle my shoe, three, four.
Sergeant. Did what just happen?
Look, Maestro, I don't want to put any phony ideas in your noodle, but things ain't on the level around here.
Sergeant, sometimes your perspicacity amazes me.
Huh? Oh, yeah.
Pardon, s'il vous plaît. La, 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 la.
That's Miss Beatrice Kay. She's the star of Columbia's Gay 90s Review.
Oh, yes, Beatrice Kay. Why, she sings those grand old American hits of the mauve decade, the ones Dad hums around the house.
Monsieur, I am insult, semblant, n'est-ce pas? Oh, I am Beatrice Kay, oui. But I am the French dancer.
French what?
The French dancers, chanteurs. I sing nothing but the French songs. Pardon, monsieur, I must go on the air.
Well, shut my big mouth.
Play, maestro, s'il vous plaît.
Why do our voices tremble, dear, while we dance? This is the kiss of romance. Why do we both resemble deux in a trance? Ah, parce que this is the kiss of romance. Soft, shh, soft as a petal falling out of a tree. Oh, I think that I shall never, never see a poem lovely as a bush. Oh, something's wrong, no, maestro?
Yes.
Oh, well, c'est la guerre. Why do you say I love you, dear, while we dance? Oh, l'amour, toujours l'amour. L'amour, toujours l'amour. Il pleut de mon cœur comme il pleut sur la ville. Quelle est cette langue qui pénètre mon cœur? Oh, l'amour, toujours. L'amour, toujours. L'amour. Oh, my dear maestro, I am so sorry. My dear audience, I am so sorry. You will apologize to me, no?
No!
Maestro, continue away. Why do you say I love you, dear? With each glance, a glance. Ah, parce que this is the kiss. This is the kiss. This is the kiss. Kiss, kiss, kiss. Kiss, 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 kiss. This is the kiss. Oh. Romance!
James Cobalt!
bravo, bravo. C'est bon, c'est belle, c'est magnifique. They'll do it every time.
Who's that gentleman, Tommy?
That's Howard Barlow, the famous symphony conductor.
Oh, of course. Mr. Barlow.
Yes?
Perhaps you can help me, sir. I've enjoyed your concerts.
Concerts? My concerts? You must be mistaken. I'm a dramatic producer.
A dramatic producer?
Yes. May I ask you to excuse me now? My cast is due.
John Reed King reporting, sir. Star of the Croup Theater.
Hello, Coach.
Hello, Ham.
The Flabby Players, I believe.
Come on. Look over your parts. Okay, Stoops. I mean, okay, Troop. And remember, I want this to be kept up to the best standards at the Columbia Workshop. Our play is called Triss. Corwin, you play Nat Weber, a hero against your will.
Okey-doke.
John Reed King, you're Jack Hamlin, the handsome villain.
Oh, boy.
Earl McGill,
you said it.
Your father, Hank Jordan, an old 49er. Mel Allen,
right.
You'll play Zenas Grimes, just one of the boys. Got and you. Beatrice Kay will be Chris. Triss, the angel of Blue Canyon. Curtain, music. Take it away!
The Howard Barlow Repertory Company in a tale of Western life entitled Triss or Beyond the Rockies. Act One. We meet Triss, the angel of Blue Canyon, as she approaches Hank Jordan in the Hotel Hades.
Hello, Father.
Hello, darling care. Hello, boys. This is the little girl I was telling you about. 20 years ago tonight, the stagecoach crashed down from the precipice and killed everybody. Everybody but one exception. A tiny baby clutched in a woman's arms, and there stands that bundle of rags I picked up 20 years ago.
I ain't changed a bit, Paul.
Hiya, Triss. I'd kiss you if we was alone.
Oh, Nat, you say the darndest thing.
And her nasty Jack.
So this Nat Weber has struck gold, eh? I could use some of his wealth, Ozenus. I could use some of his wealth. Ozenus!
What do you want, Jack Hamlin?
I want to jump Nat Weber's claim. His mine is next to yours.
Okay, Jack, but if we found out, they're liable to hang us.
Now, don't worry. I'll pick a fight with Nat. Listen to that, Nat, little Triss. If she goes too far, I'll box her ears, the brat.
Jack Hamlin, take back them whites.
I won't!
You will, too. I'll take off my coat and I'll thresh you.
Oh, Nat, Pa, take him home.
Not till I make this gambler gulp his words. I mean this gambler gulp his words.
Ah, for my sake, Nat.
Well, all right. But I'll be even with you, Jack Hamlin. I'm not through with you yet, you scoundrel.
I've got his coat for the papers.
Triss hides in the barrel while Jack and Nat go out. Enter Zenas Grimes.
Now, this Jack Hamlin's a clever scoundrel. If we got the mine, he'd cheat me out in it. I reckon I'll hide these papers in this here barrel.
Jack Hamlin, you can't bluff me. Now they're safe.
I'll say they're safe.
Act Two. At Nugget Pass, Triss is at Nat's cabin.
Nat! Nat! Have you come home? I'll knock, and if he don't answer, I'll know he's out.
Who's there?
Silence. Speaks louder than words. He's out. Just wait till I see that Nat, giving me that sticky taffy. He's sweet on Susie Smith. I ain't good enough for him since he struck gold with my ragged dress and holy socks. He wants Susie Smith because her shoes squeak when she walks. Oh, I wish I was dead. Oh, Jack Hamlin's coming.
I reckon that ain't home. Zenas is pulling against me, but I'll make him suffer for it. It's an evil day for the man who tries to outwit Jack Hamlin. Hello. Hello. Here comes Hank Jordan. Hello, Hank.
Hello there, Jack Hamilton. You're out of your latitude here.
What do you call my latitude, Hank Jordan?
Booze vaults and gambling dens is your latitude, Jack Hamilton. Places where scoundrels and banditten plot to rob honest men of their rights.
Spoiled credit.
I know you stole them papers, and I know you threatened Triss. You got a plan to injure Matt, but look out, Jack Hamilton. I'm fonder of them, too, than of all the gold, I should say, in the Sierras.
There he goes, the old bluffer. I'll get hold of that claim. So play your cards carefully, Matt Weber,
or I'm the fiercest mad tiger you've ever met.
Enter Nat Weber, coming from his mine.
Suffering cold, cats. I'll fall off on this footbridge someday. It's a rickety old concern.
Hooray!
Well, Nat Webb, you're pretty tired, aren't you, boy? You walked like a Trojan all day, but this bag of gold ain't a bad day's pay for slinging a pack.
A pick.
Okay, pick. There's Miss Triss sitting on the mossy bank. Good old Triss. She's a real trump, she is, and someday it'll be two souls with but a single thought, two hearts that beat as one. Thank you kindly. Well, I'll just sit here and rest.
Hello. There's Nat sitting on that messy bank. Bossy man, I'll just sneak up and blindfold him. I'll blindfold him with my hands and make him guess who it is.
Guess who?
Let me see now. Susie Smith.
Oh, dear, Nat, Susie Smith.
Zenas Grimes has come to Nat's cabin to confess. Outside, Jack Hamlin listens.
Zenas is telling Nat about the theft of the papers. Zenas, you've spoiled my game. Now I'll spoil yours, you traitor. Hello, they're coming out.
Good night, Zenas.
Good night, Rat. Nat?
Nat's in the cabin, out of the way. Now to get even with Zenas Grimes.
So, Zenas, you've turned traitor, eh? I'll throttle you!
Hey, mercy! Mercy, don't! Don't use the knife on me, don't!
Hey, Nat!
That's mercy for you. Lie there. I'll leave.
This knife and get away?
Someone shout for help. What's the trouble there?
Oh, Zenas. Is that you?
No, sir, ain't nobody in here but us chickens.
Why are you lying there? There's been foul play here.
There is a foul play here.
Why, Zenas, you covered with blood.
Help!
Zenas Crime has been murdered.
Yes.
Yes, and you murdered him,
yes,
Nat Weber.
Jack Hamlin, you lie. What? Nat Weber is innocent. I saw you, Jack Hamlin, kneeling over Zenas with a knife.
Jack Hamilton, take off that collar and cravat.
Curses. I'll make a break for it.
Get him, Hank.
Oh, curses. My heart. He shot me in the end.
Oh, Nat, my hero, you've killed that villain. Now you are saved to wed Susie Smith with her squeaky shoes.
Ah, no, not Susie, but Yuzi, Tris. You saved my claim, and you saved my life. You has always been my good angel. I hope my good angel ain't a-gonna desert me now.
And there they go, that little bundle of rags I picked up 1 year ago, walking hand in hand with Nat. Virtue has again triumphed. It's two thoughts with but a single soul, two hearts that beat as one.
Radio directors acting like hams, announcers who think they're John Barrymore. What do you think, Maestro?
Sergeant, I think this is a case.
A case? It's an epidemic.
There's a gasket missing somewhere. Just one little gasket.
A casket? Let me out of here.
I said a gasket, Sergeant. The missing link, the secret. Tommy, I have a hunch. Take me down to the newsroom.
The newsroom, Mr. Queen? Right over here.
And so we present a review of the news hot off the griddle by the eminent news reporters, Mrs. Bob Trout, Mrs. Lenton Wells, and Mrs. George Fielding Elliott.
Good evening, Mrs. Wells. How have things been going on those new curtains?
Oh, just fine, Mrs. Elliott. Continued activity in the sewing room is promised throughout the ensuing weeks.
Did I tell you that I had to issue a communique to my kitchen today?
Why, no, Mrs. Trout. Nothing serious, I hope.
Serious? My dear, ants have begun operations in the rear sector of our refrigerator and are advancing toward the preserves.
Dreadful. Have you confirmed the report?
The afternoon dispatches reveal a general drive in the direction of the marmalade. goodness, things do happen. Why, only this morning my maid scuttled the hot chocolate all over the breakfast room. I court-martialed her after the mopping up operations in that area.
You know, it was stated in marketing centers this morning that butter is gone up again.
My, my. And I was sure the factors in that situation were going to remain unchanged.
According to advices from the announcer girls, it's my opinion that our time's up.
You mean to indicate, I take it, that we have no time left.
Perfectly obvious, dear. We've received the old high sign from responsible quarters. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Did you see that? Mrs. Trout, Mrs. Elliott, and Mrs. Wells. I thought their husbands did the news.
Well, if this is radio, Maestro, I'll be a ring-tailed baboon.
Why, Sarge, I don't think you're a ring-tailed baboon. Well, not ring-tailed, anyway.
Say, who is that dame?
Curious, curious, juiced curious, the whole thing.
How are you doing, Mr. Queen?
Frankly, Tommy, not so well. Is there a place I could go sit down?
Sure. Across here is a rehearsal hall.
Splendid. Sergeant, have you a hypothesis?
No, but I could sure use a hypodermic.
Mr. Queen, something's wrong in this studio, too, where Miss Nyla Mack rehearses. She's the director who puts on those programs for us kids. The March of Games and Let's Pretend.
Presenting Young Band with a Girl.
Young Band with a Girl, that highlight musical half hour that brings you the greatest names in bandom. Tonight, it's Nyla Mack and her Kindergarten Gates. You'll hear them play, but first we bring you the life story of this glamorous orchestra leader, Nyla Mack. We first meet this infant piano prodigy when she was first coming to attention in a Kansas high school, where she was famous for sliding down the banisters. Just how did that figure in your musical career, Nyla?
That is where I developed my glissando.
And this is the way she played it then. Go on, Nyla.
Well, then, later, at the age of 17, I'd get so flustered when my bows would call, both of them, that often I'd find myself seated at the piano with a pan of freshly made fudge sticking to my fingers. But did this deter me? No, not at all. I went right on playing.
And now, after her sensational success in stage, radio, and screen, Nyla Mack, her piano, and her orchestra have gone on to the very heights. Playing like this. What progress! And today, Miss Mack has turned that amazing versatility of hers to the realm of serious music. Nyla, what are you doing in the classical field?
Oh, it's a tone poem, whatever your name is. I have the central theme finished, and I'm performing it, as a matter of fact, at Carnegie Hall in a fortnight. It goes something like this.
If logic be logical, this could not be. But if it be...
You suspect something, Mr. Queen?
No, but I have a theory. Tommy, I want to see if these programs are going on the air like this. Is there a loudspeaker handy?
Sure. Right over there, Mr. Queen. Just turn that knob.
And so we conclude another of these broadcasts at Symphonic Hall, brought to you by yours truly, Ted Musing. Now, just to run over the action for you guys and gals again, the string sections was in there sawn all the way. And while the horns were a little bit from hunger in the opening minutes, they kind of muddled through and lambasted Bach all over the hall before it was over. Oh, that kid Toscaroli was in the pink tonight. He came out there smiling, winning attention with a ducky tailcoat ensemble set off by voguish striped trousers. And he displayed smart stick work for the distance. Madame Baruca Tononi displayed a swell pair of pipes and checked with the pre-concert dope by tangling with that Tannhauser and laying it down the old alley in a way to make Wagner stand up and cheer. Oh, and you should have seen the ushers in those new ultra-ultra bow ties. They were just too divine. Well, this is your polyphonic and fashion reporter, Ted Hughes, and saying toodaloo and turning you over for the wrestling broadcast from Madison Square Garden. That's a repeat bout between champion Jimmy Londos and me and Mountain Dean. Now be sure to stay tuned in for that ace sports reporter, David Ross.
Ted Husing of the opera, David Ross at the Garden.
Are you there, David, old thing?
You know it, Teddy boy.
By the way, Davy, will you marry me?
Well, isn't this rather sudden, Teddy, old bean?
Well, it's leap year. Just thought I'd ask. Okay, if you feel that way, take it away, Davy.
Thanks, Ted. My friend, I would you were here with me to revel in the beauty of this modern Greek god, Londos. Warily, but with nymph-like grace, he approaches the center of the ring. He dances, he pirouettes, with all the abandon of Nijinsky in the Russian ballet, Snegurochka. His adversary, Man Mountain Dean, watches, as in a trance, in a dream. They embrace, but not in hatred or brutality, but rather in companionate delight. They might, in such moments, cry out in ecstasy, "My love is like a red, red rose." There now, you might expect terror or pain, but no. Man Mountain Dean, with exquisite delicacy, enfolds his adversary's neck in fond embrace. Much the same as Yasha Heifetz caresses the swan-like neck of his beloved Stradivarius. Londos, of course, playing second fiddle. Well, now he moves from the center of the ring, speaking to himself in the language of Plato, or Cosmia Catastate, or Svirika Tirimenye, Yafti Pukrife Dernese Kleis Trenis, Kalinichtos Anthropos, which translated means, "Dad hoits you, bum." Look you now, the tonal mood changes. From the delicate prelude, we go into prestissimo. The Greek rushes with glissandos burning in his eyes. And then with a pair of tweezers, Londos plucks, as though they were daisies, the delicately scented hairs from Man Mountain's beard. Oh, delightful pastoral scene. And now, listen as Londos runs arpeggios up and down his opponent's ribs. He wrings his neck. They wring each other's necks. All right. Breathes there a man with soul so dead, who never to himself hath said,
"Not popcorn, not chewing gum."
Well, what sheer drama. I mean drama. I must remember my diction award. But look, the straightened force of the twifle on the stoop there. They strike each other. Can this be violence? Listen.
Sergeant, most unusual, don't you think?
Maestro, if it's all the same to you, I'm going to get me a long, tall Mickey Finn.
You better stay here, Sergeant.
Why?
Because you've got to get to the bottom of this case.
Me?
Yes, you. Don't look now, Sergeant Beale, but I'm not Ellery Queen.
No?
No, I'm Frank Gallup.
The guy who announces the Philharmonic?
Right you are, Sergeant. Well, this case is in your hands now. I bid you good evening, Sergeant Beale, and lots of luck.
Well, I'll be a ring-tailed baboon.
Thinking it over, I check with that, Sergeant.
Oh, yeah? Nobody leave, you hear me? Nobody move a muscle. You think you can pull anything now like on the force? Tommy, who had a hand in this thing?
Well, gosh, Nyla Mack and Ted Husing, Bob Trout, David Ross, Mrs. Elliott, Mrs. Linton Wells, John Reed King, Mrs. Trout, Beatrice K., Burgess Meredith, Norman Corwin, Howard Barlow, Earl McGill, Mel Allen. Ray Bluck directed the music. Phil Cohn directed it in collaboration with John Fitzgerald, and Paul Phillips wrote it.
Yeah, well, I'm holding a lot of you. Gee, I gotta solve it. I gotta. What would Mr. Queen do?
Message for Sergeant Veely.
It's from Mr. Queen. Sergeant, I suggest you remember the leap year legend. On February 29th, the planets are aligned to give license to girls to propose to boys. And what is less widely known, license is given for all people to do the things they have secretly longed to do. Perhaps your suspects have been leaping out of character. Yours, the real Ellery Queen. I got it. Okay, kid, we don't need them anymore.
You mean...
I mean it's a cinch. I've solved it. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.